fast as I can.
It's on.
Okay, we're gonna go live here.
But that is for the state people.
Yeah, he's a good.
We'll go live here in 1 minute. Well, we are live.
That's how I got that on site.
Tell me, you tell me.
So, this was.
According to that clock, it's 42 seconds.
There we go. Okay, we'll go ahead and call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. It is 5:00 PM on Tuesday, May 11th, 2021. Roll call, please.
Daniel.
Here.
Kenrod.
Here.
Crowder.
Here.
Turn if you have the minutes from our last meeting, which was on April 27th. Were there any changes or corrections?
I had none.
I do not.
I didn't see any either. I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion second. Any further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is a consulting agreement with our friends at United. Sean.
So we've, obviously you guys have heard that we're trying to do the Main Street re-lighting project. I think you guys have been down Main Street. You've probably seen that the light poles are kind of leaning in and there's overhead wires going back and forth. And the mayor and I have had discussions for several years now about replacing those. Obviously, being in within NDOT's territory, it makes things more complicated and more expensive. That's why I brought my friends from United in on this project, and they're working on a few of the things that we don't typically have to deal with as an electric utility, with some, you know, geotech and things like that. Don't typically do, but if you look through the agreement, we've actually gone through and eliminated a few things to make it a little more affordable as far as the engineering portion of it. But the things that are left in there are things that are just mandatory by Indiana state government. So we have three or four different things. So this portion here is strictly for the engineering portion. For drawing up where our pedestals would go for our street lighting. It's for routing cable, conduit, just drawing and engineering all of that. And I don't know if Jeff has anything he wants to add to that.
The NDOT permit, going through that entire process, addressing any potential right-of-way issues. There shouldn't be any, but they're just typical steps in the process you have to take because it's within NDOT's right-of-way.
I've got to imagine that there's probably a lot of infrastructure in that whole area because of it being a state highway and obviously a major thoroughfare for all of us. So.
Exactly. And so this is something we really only want to do one time. We want to do it nice. So you guys have all seen Linda Lane, Barbara Drive addition. We did that addition. I think it looks really nice with the black poles and the black light fixtures and arms, so we've patterned it kind of off of that, and you guys, I sent everyone the pole design for what we're putting up there on my last department report, so you've seen what, it's a little more decorative than what we see on most streets, but it is our main thoroughfare, so we thought it was important to and make sure it looked really nice. This agreement is for, and I can't right now find the total. I know it's $49,000, but I can't find the dollar to change.
$49,900.
Yeah, it's one of the last pages, I think.
Yes. That's what I thought.
Appendix D is where I
think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, $49,900, and this, obviously, you can see what it includes. Topographic, right-of-way, lighting design and plan, bidding services, post-bid services. They also do inspections for us as well, so keep us well within NDOT's watchful eye and keep us complying with everything they expect from us. So my recommendation is moving forward with just the engineering portion and that $49,900 price, and from there we'll move forward with contracting out a contractor to come in and setting up a metering point, things like that. We are providing all of the materials ourselves, so I'll be coming to you guys later with probably a quote for all the lights and poles and fixtures and all of that. The overall cost has been estimated somewhere around $170,000 for this project to $200,000 project for this project. Everything is shot through, as you can imagine. Just like everything else in the world, the price has up the aluminum poles mostly. The arms and the fixtures are holding steady price-wise. That's why we want to kind of get going now, so we can get it before it even jumps up even higher.
Just a clarification, you mentioned pedestal.
Yes.
Is it truly a pedestal or is it a manhole or handhole?
So what we will have done is they will pour a concrete base on these poles.
Right.
It'll be slightly raised above the ground so mowers don't bounce off our poles. Conduit will run up in the middle of that conduit. So we won't have boxes.
Okay.
We won't have anything like that.
It'll be all concealed.
Right.
Okay.
And it'll all be in the poles are all aluminum. And from the drawing, you can see it has a decoration hanger on it. It has banner hangers on it. It has a GFI outlet to plug in our decorations. It has everything welded to the pole and painted, so we don't have to go in and wrap stuff around the poles to get, you know, our Christmas decorations and things like that to work. And we've already went into discussions with what we're going to do with the banners when we actually get the pole installed. So I think it'll be a great opportunity for them to, you know, local, whether it be the county or whomever, Downtown Business Association, whatever it's being called.
Columbia City Connect.
Thank you. To put up banners and welcome everybody to the city. So.
Yep. Other questions of Sean? Okay, then I will make a motion that we approve the professional services agreement with United Consulting in regards to the Main Street lighting project in a not to exceed number of $49,900.
Second. Go ahead.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Thank you.
Okay. Double duty here. Okay, next up is the quote for the track loader. Mike?
If you remember, I talked about this for the last couple of retreats. We're going to replace our loader tractor that we have with a bigger machine. Our equipment just keeps getting bigger, and it cannot pick it up. So we spent the last couple of months going through and looking at different machines. Demoed a couple of them, actually talked to some employees at the city on what they currently have. There's three quotes here, a Caterpillar, a John Deere, and a Kubota. And we narrowed it down to the Deere and the Kubota, and then when it comes down to the end of it, looking at them side by side, it would be my recommendation to go with the John Deere. It's a little more expensive, but it has more horsepower, more lift capacity, easier operation on it. With that one compared to the Kubota, when you turn both on the Kubota, both tracks turn at the same speed. With the Deere, your outside track turns faster than your inside, so you don't tear your ground up, and it just operates more smoothly. It's just an all-around stronger machine, and by talking to the employees, the Kubotas that the city have, some say they don't lift what they should. They're weak. They're not happy with them. They're not real smooth on the way they operate. So, and then we demoed, like I said, we demoed both of them. My guys they preferred the John Deere. So that would be my recommendation. To go with the Deere.
Questions of Mike? And that's from Green Mark Equipment?
Correct.
Mark Green Equipment. Let the record show it's actually Green Mark, just so I don't mess up Sally too much here. Questions? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the John Deere tractor purchase or compact track loader purchase with quote ID of 243-52262?
Second.
Wait, is that a motion?
That is a motion.
Okay, thank you.
I'll second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
Thank you.
And just to be clear, that was for $66,600, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
And did you say you're trading anything in or not?
We are not trading in, but our current loader tractor, I have people that are interested in it. So I need to, what I will do there is I'll have probably Morris come in and come up with a price on it, if everything it has. It's got a mower deck, bucket, forks, and come up with a price and have them send that to you. So I don't have any idea what it is, and then those, I guess, a couple, whoever's interested can have a bidding war on it at that point. So
okay.
That's the fairest way I know how to do it. So
mm-hmm. Sure. Okay. While we're on the wastewater hit parade, we'll go to pay app number 8 for the phosphorus removal project.
Pay application number 8. I have reviewed it, and it's my recommendation to accept pay app number 8 for $56,550 as presented.
Now, as I was reading it, I got a little confused, so I just want to make sure. This is pre-retainage, right? The next one is?
Correct. This is pre-retainage. This is for work, and then right. Number 9 takes care of?
Retainage and other.
Everything.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Can I have a motion?
I'll make a motion. We pay the pay application number 8 in the amount of $56,550.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is pay application number 9.
Pay application number 9.
And change order number 1.
And change order number 1. This is the final pay app for the phosphorus project. It will close it out after this one is accepted and paid. Then we'll have closed out paperwork, and that project is completed at this point. Other than obviously our warranty period for a year, and there's just a couple things that are left that are very, very minor to be completed, actually changed, not necessarily completed. They are done. They're changing them. Change order number 1, they save it to the end because it wasn't a very large amount for a couple outlets, and then relocating the water line as they were doing that. So that's what it is. So it'd be my recommendation to accept pay out number 9 and change order number 1 for $5,531.58.
Right, and I should have mentioned to our to the public, those individuals watching, that this is the phosphorus removal project that was basically a federally and state mandated project on us, but it creates additional phosphorus removal from our wastewater system before the water goes into the river. So I'll make a motion we approve change order number 1 and pay application number 9 for James S. Jackson Company, LLC, in the amount of $5,531.58.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up is... I'm getting there. The Phase 2B CSO Mitigation Project, change order number 9. It is phase number 44.
Be change order number 6.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
9.
Oh, I'm sorry. Change order number 6. Apologize.
This change order is for the telemetry upgrade at the Ellsworth Station. To upgrade to the new system. The old system is outdated. It's in there functioning now, but we're going to update it to the new one. Fall protection on all the hatches was on the prints, but it wasn't on the specs. So the contractor is saying it's not in specs, so they didn't put it in. The engineer is saying it's on the prints, so you have to put it in. So it's like he said, she said. But mm-hmm. And then it came down to it, and it's yes, it has to be there. So it's a change order, and all those hatches will have fall protection in them. After they build it, and after some discussions with the pump representatives, there needs to be a baffle put in the wet well So when the flow comes in and it dumps right on top of a pump, and by the air created by that flow coming in, will actually damage that pump over time, so they need to have a baffle put in.
Mm.
I think there was a breakdown in communication, it sounds like, from the pump representative with the engineer, some type of breakdown there that wasn't put in or in design. So we're going back and putting that in to save that. Just on a figure, we had the total change orders are $98,676. But if you look at the third page, we have a lot of deducts in here. And I will credit, not to myself, but the large deductions on asphalt to our RPR that we had. A lot of those deductions there came into play from so that he looked at and thought we could change. So on the total deducts of $99,311.50, it actually makes it, on this change order, $635.50 in our favor. It reduced the contract by that amount. The overall contract amount is reduced by $635.50.
That's on page 46, right? Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes.
Sorry?
Okay. 46 the packet.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I guess my recommendation is to accept as presented on the change order. It actually is in our favor, which most change orders don't go in the favor of that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. So the official change order in and of itself, change order number 6, is actually with a decrease of $635.50.
Correct, from the overall contract amount. Yes.
Gotcha. Okay. Question.
The money saved so far, it's paying for the basically the change order.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. With that, I'll make a motion. We approve change order number 6 with a decrease of $635.50 as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. I'm trying to find it. Give me here. Okay, toxic reduction evaluation initial phase. Correct? That's next.
Correct.
Okay. There's a. I was a little bit confused with the paperwork in the packet. So you may have to baby step us in this one a little bit.
Well, that's
bit,
fine.
So.
That's fine. What this is, we have three quotes here from three different companies. Just a little bit of history. For the last 3 years. The treatment plant has to do wet testing every year, which they have two organisms. They have flathead minnows and basically water fleas. That they take our effluent and they start off with a certain amount and then progress. By the end of the week, it's 100% effluent. They have to survive and reproduce and everything like that. For some reason, but for the last 3 years, we have been having to do a TRE, which is a toxicity reduction evaluation, to try to find where the toxicity is coming from. We've exhausted everything that the knowledge that I have through treatment coordinator, the labs we've been working with, and we thought we had it narrowed down to a specific point in the city and a potentially specific business. That business is no longer here, and then before that, the problem actually moved from one point in the city to another point, and the one we thought was toxic was no longer. So, and we can't figure out because the whatever chemical, whatever it is, it's throw a dart at it. We just can't find it. So I think I talked about our retreat. I've talked to the mayor about this. It's time because IDEM is getting antsy and upset because we've spent our 36 months working on this and have not found the solution yet. So they're a little upset with us, but we're working with them and told them that this is our next step to move on to this. So that seems to be okay with them for right now. But we have three different companies here that are going to come in, review our data that we've already done. All our information, notes, and everything like that, go through that, Let me just break that down. Do you have questions so far?
I think my biggest question is probably where you're going, which is how is there such a dramatic difference in the three quotes?
Well, I'm guessing the one company really doesn't want to do it because they're out of Holland, Michigan.
Okay.
So it would be the logistics of that would be kind of tough.
Okay.
But the company that we've chosen, the distance is about the same, so don't understand.
Okay.
But for Ergo, which is in Syracuse, Indiana, for their quote was for $5,750, and that was just data review. And that's all they were going to do for the $5,000 was just review our data.
Okay.
Which we've already sat down with them and basically give them all that information, so I don't see the point to go through it again. But, and then with EnviroScience, or I'm sorry, with ERM, which is out of Holland, they want $14,000 just for data review. And then with EnviroScience, which they're out of Ohio, I think it's still Ohio.
Yeah.
$2,280 for the data review. And then establish a baseline toxicity, variance, and persistence of the effluent, if that part is necessary, unless they can find something in our data that we missed, it's the 2280. If they do some testing and stuff like that, which they will also come in, do a walkthrough of the facility, look at things that maybe it's something in-house that we're doing and don't realize, that'd be an additional $7,125 for a total of $9,405. That's for both of them that they will review the data, come in and look at our stuff, do some testing. Ergo, they didn't even go that far on their quote. And with ERM, for them to do testing and a walkthrough, that's another $7,500 on top of the $14,000, which the other company's going to do it for $9,000. And then the total package, if they have to go through all four tasks, for EnviroScience, it's $28,214 for the whole project. Hopefully, we don't have to go that far. And then for ERM, for there, the total estimated probable cost, it could be more, it could be less, was $99,500. So I don't understand why it was such a huge difference, but we had them look at their stuff twice and go back, and you know, that's what it is. So, our recommendation is to go with EnviroScience, contract with them to figure out our toxicity problem that we have.
So you probably know what my next question is going to be, but I mean, obviously we want to get the problem fixed or get it at least evaluated and see if we can get it fixed as soon as possible because of IDEM, obviously,
right,
being there. So my question is, are you asking us to approve the full slate, which I think is, what'd you say, $28,214, I think, is there on page 74?
$28,214, yeah. If we do all that, if not, it will just be, basically, the way it's set up is just time and material. What they do is what they'll charge.
Okay. So maybe we do a not to exceed $28,214, but understanding that you make the decision of if we go to step two, if we go to step three, if we...
Correct. And obviously, I would come to the board and let you know that, you know, this... And task one and task two will run at the same time.
Okay.
So they're going to be reviewed and plus do the testing at the same time, where the other ones are going to do it individually.
Yep.
Which is too much time.
Gotcha.
They said that they would do both of them at the same time, so we can run the two tasks at the same time and hopefully come to something faster.
What's the length of time from start to finish? Would you estimate that? Maybe 3 or 4 months or...
This first one for task one and two, I would give it a month because they want to run 8 samples. So that's going to take a couple weeks to do that from the 1 week and then run the test and then another week and then to get the results. Probably a good month.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay, I'll make a motion that we go with Mike's recommendation of EnviroScience. With a not-to-exceed number of $28,214, and with Mike having the ability to determine when to take the next step within that parameter.
Second.
Does that make sort of sense? Mm-hmm. Okay. Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Mike, you have anything else for us while we're on the hip parade here?
I don't believe so.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Next up is annexation procedures, and I will turn it over to Marcia.
So two primary changes got made. And this, by the way, this is a super voluntary annexation procedures, not just the basic voluntary annexation. But just in the last one, we had a picture wrong on the fiscal plan, and it, even though the legal description was correct, it sort of messed things up. So I made some changes to just make sure that doesn't happen. And the other thing is, Rosie brought to my attention just all the everybody that has to be notified. And I thought it was a really good idea for Rosie's recommendation, and I totally agree, to include that in the process as well. So it's known. And that will change from time to time, I'm sure. But it's just a good thing to have that since we're doing this sort of everything. And I just wanted to bring it so we could have it approved here and then have it approved at the, because the fiscal plan technically should come through the Board of Works, but also have it approved at the council level. So that it was just those two changes and just to try to, you know, as we all know, as processes work, sometimes you notice little things that might help to make it even better.
Yep. Questions, Marcia? Okay, can I have a motion to approve the super voluntary annexation process as presented?
So moved.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. We have a curb cut request for 414 West Columbia Parkway. It is in your Dropbox. It appears they're going to be putting in a new driveway at that property.
Like they're going to demo the old and put in new.
That's what I...
You know, I stopped down.
Did you stop? Okay, I was going to say, that's what it looked like to me, but okay, good. Any concerns? Kelly, good?
I talked with the contractor that was looking at doing the work and told him our expectations and seemed to agree with that.
Gotcha. So if I remember correctly, the driveway goes down to the sidewalk and then goes down again, correct?
Yeah.
And they're going to be leveling off that sidewalk and all
and
that.
And the curb, good. Too.
And
so
the curb, okay.
Shouldn't be an issue.
Okay, good. Good. Okay, any questions? Okay. Can I have a motion?
Make a motion that we approve the request. Let me get back there. For the removal of the old concrete driveway and installation of a new. As designed.
Okay. I'll second. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Bills and payroll.
I'll make a motion to pay all accounts payable vouchers dated May 11th, 2021 in the amount of $1,022,516.78.
I'll second. Further discussion or questions? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $227,242.36 plus overtime in the amount of $7,563.51 for the pay file ending 4/9/2021.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you.
Motion second. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
And I'll make a motion to pay all pay types except overtime in the amount of $235,512.62 plus overtime in the amount of $6,843.81 for the pay file ending 4/23/21.
I'll second for the discussion. All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Department head reports. Chip.
Yes. Just for an update for the Board of Works, NDOT reached out and they were going to change the speed limit on 109 north of 30. It goes 30 to 40, and then right at Cambridge Crossing entrance, it goes to 55, so they're going to go 30 to 45 ways past Cambridge Crossing, so it kind of slows down traffic, just so you know.
Okay, questions, Chip?
Is that, we need to modify our
slow traffic.
Do we if it's on NDOT road, do we need to modify anything with ours?
They're taking care of everything.
It's in the city limits.
Probably it's all there.
It's all their signs.
Yeah. If it's a city highway, I don't think we have. Right. Okay. Kelly.
Yeah, we're currently working on West Van Buren. We had a sewer break at Elm and Van Buren. That ended up being a water leak then later on, thanks to our partner, Saul. But thanks to Mike's guys, came down and got it resolved, and then we ended up fixing the pipe the next day. But so we had to take the ADA ramp out, some of the sidewalk, so we're currently getting that fixed in-house. Jason's working on that with a couple guys. Grading the alleys up for dust control. Great Lakes Chloride will be in Thursday to spray all the alleys for dust control, so we always try to get them graded up and all the potholes out of them prior to that, so we're working on that. Because of our community crossings money that we got some freed up on a couple of my line items because we got pushed back for Westgate. We didn't think we were going to do the sidewalk in front of City Hall because of that. But now that we have some funds, we're going to try to tackle that this year. And I reached out to Flotech, talked to Mike Line, and he's going to revisit the quote from last year.
Okay.
And because of materials just being hard to get, mm-hmm. kind of wanted to get that on the radar now, so at least by August, September, we can... Sure. have everything ready to go if we can get all the materials. So that's something we're looking at. And then because of that also, we got a couple streets maybe we're going to be able to pave. So looking at getting some quotes around for that and seeing where we'll be at funding-wise for getting two or three streets paved. And then Pavement Solutions will be in here in the next couple weeks doing some pavement preservation work for us. Curbs are scheduled to be going in at Timber's Edge, and that's that fly ash material, Mayor, that they talked
about. Going to test it out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're currently, I think Primco's doing the curb work over there, and they're currently setting stakes and getting ready to be putting curbs in over there.
Okay, so let me tackle that real quick. Yeah. So I was kind of approached, and it was a weird kind of thing. a lot of chefs in the kitchen, we'll say it that way. But long story short is we were approached to kind of try out a new product that Primco is going to be putting in for our curbs. It's effectively maybe a greener, more environmentally friendly product. It allows the curing to happen quicker, I think, right? I'm probably saying it
wrong. You don't need a sealer
the curb,
because it kind of has it built into mm-hmm. it. Takes less water. There's less concrete being used, which in turn helps the environment mm-hmm. Because of carbon emissions or whatever.
And you said, I think, didn't we use that same general stuff in our front half of our sidewalk that we put in? So.
Yeah.
So
they want to try it out on curbing because they're currently using it on bridge decks and things like that, and they want to kind of venture into the mm-hmm. curb part of it. So
yeah, I think the question was about the actual forming, right? Like they've not done, is it called slip
right.
form or something like that? So they've not really used it in that context yet. So what we basically agreed upon with everybody was that we'll add an extra year to their warranty period on the curbs themselves. That brought up another issue, which was on our dedication form of our streets and utilities and all that kind of stuff. There's nowhere on the form that talks about dedication of curbs or sidewalks or anything like that, concrete work effectively. And so we're going to, we've added, I think, have we added that already? Yeah, so we've added that to the form. But it was one of those like, hey, how do we enforce a warranty on something that they don't dedicate to us, even though it's kind of public infrastructure. So anyway, so we've worked on, that's kind of how this all came about. But so we'll do a two-year warrant, since that goes in front of the Board of Works, we'll do a two-year warranty on those curbs just to ensure that they're going to hold up effectively, which, again, see the concrete out front, I'm pretty sure it's going to, but it's always good to have a safety valve. So.
Yep. So they're moving over there on that. The proof roll passed. The edges needed work. They had to dig out the edges before they put the stone in. So stone's in. They're going to be putting the curbs down, and then paving will be later on. There's still leaf mulch back at the back of the park if anybody needs any. We'll be trying to get rid of that here within the next week. I think the greenhouse will probably take a lot of it. So, and then plan on trying to get the crosswalks uptown fixed this year because we have some extra money now to use. So that will be one of the reasons why we're only going to be doing a couple streets of paving, so we can make sure we have some money left over to dig these crosswalks out and get asphalt in there and just do a basic striping pattern on them. So, but we'll have to, that'll be a coordination effort because of downtown events and our concrete work and things like that. So we may end up having to just contract it out and have them do it. So we'll see how that works out.
So on that note, I think I sent an email out, but just want to make sure that at least the public knows is that so we were awarded like $100,000+ for community crossings, but obviously we'd asked for $1 million, and we kind of went back through the application and found where there were some deficiencies. NDOT actually helped us a lot in that, which is great. And so we're going to go for the second round. But because of how the construction schedule will then be pushed back, we use 2022 money for the first phase of Westgate. I know the residents out there are less than pleased about this. I get it. I understand. I'm less than pleased about it.
Okay. I didn't want to bring it up because it's such a sore subject.
It is a sore subject. But long story short is that we'll be using 22 money for the first phase of Westgate. So I told Kelly, go ahead and, because by the time we get around to doing anything over there, there's no way we'll be able to use. The timing will be off, let's say it that way. So Kelly will be doing some, again, paving and sidewalk work and things like that with the money we already appropriated. So thank you. Questions to Kelly?
I'm done. They're giving me a hard time.
They give the hard pass. Okay. Tom?
Well, I've got to start my report out with telling you the day that the water line got cut into at Oak and Van Buren, I was with Kelly. I must tell you, it was pretty awesome to see that, hear that go boom, and water spurting here. Of course, my excitement and exuberation was not accepted by these two as by the same manner, which I also told them that I'd seen on TV there was some stuff called Flex Seal that they could probably wrap around that and get it stopped, and they didn't think that would work either.
He's always got some good ideas.
Yeah, I'm sure he does.
Never paying out.
Creative chap.
It works with both. I don't know why it wouldn't work with that. we've been training and trying to get all the volunteers through to do training on our air packs so we can get those put in service. I know you're probably getting tired of hearing about air packs, and soon that will be put to rest. Mike Shift is going to start mounting those air packs and all of our stuff in our vehicles. We will wait for 102 to be transferred over until at least the 27th of May, or until after the 27th of May, so that Kyle Francis don't have to retrain the high school kids on a different air pack right before their practicals are up. So 102 will be the last vehicle to have that transfer made. I'm probably going to stop reporting to you guys when all of our vehicles are up and running and nothing's wrong, because every time I do, something else goes wrong. We had a light come on in 110, and it's a plugged, and Mark, you're not going to want to hear this either, because we still have ours. It's a plugged catalytic converter. Mark don't have his. So So you'll probably be reporting on that. Mm-hmm. So Brad did contact City Ford. We were 1 month away from losing warranty, and so it's being covered under warranty, thank goodness, unlike Mark's. So with that with that being said, I'll end my department head report, but Mark has even more interesting news on catalytic converters.
Questions at Tom? Thank you. Gary?
All right, I'm just going to touch on a few things from my report I sent earlier. Master Patrolman Hodges was appointed as deputy chief, and I'm excited about that to get things started. He has a lot of the same qualities as I do as far as customer service and the passion for this community, so I'm excited for that. We started doing the stop arm violation with the county community consolidated schools. We've done it twice now on two different shifts, two different buses. They had no violations at all, which is a good thing.
That's good.
So that's great news to pass along. Our FATS machine, my old machine, which is the firearm training simulator, has been installed. I had several guys over there for training today, and I would say that the trainer was a little less qualified than what I like, so I've got to call into that company to send somebody that is a little more knowledgeable of what they're
that's
looking
good.
For. So. Oakey Alley and Farmers Market and First Friday, I think, were a success. I didn't hear any negative on that. And other than that, I think as far as that goes, as far as the police dispatch, everything's run pretty smooth. They have a few people step up to fill shifts in a short notice, so good for that. And Jeremy Conrad continues to do well and keeps progressing quickly. That's looking good for dispatch.
Yeah, good. Questions to Gary. Not to put you on the spot, Gary, but I'm sure that I've already gotten the question about what's going to happen with the SRO position out at Indian Springs since Thor's moving to deputy chief.
Yes, I talked to Dr. McDermott, and we're actually going to do a little interview process for anybody that's interested in it. So I think that's going to happen before June because there is a SRO class, national SRO class.
Yeah. Okay.
We can send that new SRO to that training.
Great.
And then as far as Jack goes, I'll update a little bit on Jack too. He's just going to be as, you know, the school sees it and needs him, they'll call and or he'll run home and grab him and take him out.
Yep. Very good. Thank you. Mike?
We've started putting the new meters in and the Itron converts. This last week, and then also we've got some new services going in, and then we have the one service out on Lincoln Way East. We have to go under and around some fiber optics, gas lines, and all that. So hopefully we get that done Thursday.
Okay, good, good. Question to Mike. Thank you, Mike.
Long-term control plan, final completion was supposed to be third. The last several days they are still working on restoration. They are not done, and I request that the engineering company come up and do an inspection soon to go over the punch list to figure out where they're at, and I leave that up to the board if they want to pursue liquidated damages at this point or just continue on as we're going. They are going to be around for a while yet for the for that change order, but there's time extension on that change order is only for those parts. It's not for the stuff that they're still working on now that was supposed to be done by Monday.
Are you wanting a formal vote on liquidated damages?
I didn't actually put it on the agenda, so I don't know if we can do that, but I'm just throwing the information out there. I've taken pictures yesterday of the stuff that wasn't completed. Some of it is completed today, but they were still on top of the day working on unfinished items. And there's still stuff that's not completed.
I've said this before, I'll say this again. We have extended the timeline for them. I think we were more than generous. When we agreed on the timeline extension, they understood that after a certain period of time, they would be charged liquidated damages. I have no interest in not doing that. I fully believe we should be charging liquidated damages because we do have, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think we have inspection costs that go along with that additional time, correct?
I don't, as far as I know, they don't have an inspector up here.
Okay. Okay.
If they do, they might send them up for the big things to finish up, but I don't think there has been an inspector, not that I'm aware of.
Well, I know, obviously, I know we changed inspectors, so I don't know, but I don't know where we're at with that. But, I mean, it still comes back to a principal thing for us, for me at least, I'll say. I don't want to speak on behalf of the rest of the board, but I've said before, we extended the time. We gave them plenty of additional time. They agreed to that timeline, that extension, and they knew what was going to happen if they didn't meet that extended timeline. So I don't know why we wouldn't charge liquidated damages, in my opinion.
Okay. I support the same thing. As there's many man hours, just man hours alone, of trying to work and negotiate through this, and the work still hasn't got done to, you know, our satisfaction. And I think we've been leaders throughout this whole process, and I think they've abused it. I think it's time to engage.
I agree.
Okay. I will have a conversation with the engineers tomorrow.
Okay.
The only other thing I had on here that I talked to that touch you, because that was part of it before. But the last thing is for the 700 East launching station out there for Clean Forest Main. The engineers are working on the submittals. So, and I think the other submittal for the bulk should be in yet this week and approved, so hopefully we'll get started on that in the next week or two. Probably a couple of weeks yet, but so if we get that rolling along and get that done. So that's all I have, unless you have other questions.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Mark?
Our new bathrooms are open, which is really nice. So our baseball and softball pretty much every night. Monday through Thursday is our league, so then weekend tournaments. Not every weekend, but we have one this weekend that's on one field, so it's not very big. And next weekend will be a big one for us. This week we've been working on the Aquatic Center, hoping to have the pool filled by Friday. That way it has a couple weeks to heat if necessary. Just a lot of work to clean that up and get it ready again. Been mowing like crazy when it's not raining. It's been hard to stay up with that, but trying to do. I've done with interviews for a while, which is nice. I had a lot of them. I want to thank the electric department. They put in power to the old high school properties, the old weight room for us. Appreciate them doing that. Pickleball courts, I ordered a windscreen for them. So hopefully that helps with the wind and also the sun that they don't like, because our courts aren't the right direction. So so you know that's ordered, and hopefully they'll be happy sometime. Working on getting a five-year plan updated this year.
Cheaper.
Our five-year plan that we had done 5.5 years ago is we had an extension for this year, and so we're good for this year, which allows us to apply for grants from DNR, but it will expire at the end of this year. So I'm working with Martin Riley to continue to upgrade that. Laura Shipman's working on a grant to DNR, like I mentioned, for the new parkland. And we're waiting. Lori has the appraisal back for the property. I haven't seen it yet. But she has that. I've been getting different prices for different aspects for that property, which all is part of the grant. And as Tom mentioned, last Friday we came into work and started our trucks up. And it sounded like a good motion derby car. Because our catalytic converters were going. It all kind of is part of us not being able to park things inside. So we're down two trucks. And our cameras were down because of bathrooms getting worked on. So those will be put up soon. So it was kind of like a perfect storm at the time. There you go.
Question to Mark. are those... I don't know how this works. Do they put in new catalytic converters then? Is that what the plan is?
They're at City Ford right now, and they're $2,500 a truck. Now insurance will take care of that, but they cut themselves in the process of doing it, so there was a lot of blood down there.
So they use saw or something?
Yeah.
Huh.
We didn't see the cameras at the front of the park did not show a vehicle coming in after 11. So we think that they crossed the bridge. Right there.
Hmm. Interesting. I noticed.
It would be easy to do it. Had, I would think once you got it off, wouldn't it?
I don't know.
But
not that I know.
I was going to say, I noticed that Sean had some cuts on his arm.
Scott would have called him.
Scott would have called him.
Okay. So that's fine. Okay. Anything else, Mark?
No.
Thank you. Sean?
I'm just going to quickly update my report from last week. Obviously, we signed on the agenda tonight for United to start working on the street lighting on Main Street. We have not got to stump grinding yet. We have a RFQ out for the breakers at our north substation that will be incorporated into the 69 kV conversion project, which includes an automatic transfer scheme for our transmission line. So if we lose one feed from AEP, it'll automatically transfer to the other feed without us having to dispatch anyone else to do so, which would be awesome. So we have a request for quote out. They're due the 25th, so I'll be coming to you guys sometime in June with a recommendation on which way we want to go with that. My estimation is between $75,000 and $85,000 for those two switches, plus we have relays and things like that. So that'll be coming to you in June. June 3rd, keep in mind, ribbon cutting for the solar park. They will give me an updated schedule and an official invite soon, very soon, hopefully.
Remind me, Sean, I think there's supposed to be like a pre-lunch or something.
Yes,
they'd
like to have a luncheon and then go to the site.
So block off a little bit of time.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure you guys have a date. They would do the schedule here shortly, hopefully. They're waiting for some of our legislators to get back with them on their availability. So we have a trailer that was in our five-year plan. Full trailer, the quotes came in today, so hopefully by next meeting I will get your recommendation on a new pool trailer that's from 1956 to 62 era.
The pictures were nice.
Yeah, those are nice. Yeah, that's what we're using. Westgate, we're jumping back on that since the rain stops. Parkview Hospital is all bored in. We hired a new contractor to do that project. He was amazing. Did a great job. We're going to hopefully use him again in the future. Did so much more above and beyond what was he was hired to do. So awesome. Applicants for our open position came in. Six full applicants in a month and a half time period. We did get, I feel, three or four really good applicants, though. So we're going through those. We're going to have interviews hopefully in the next 2 weeks. Bring that to you. Switch gear over at the old high school property. We have an outage. The main outage was 1,400 customers out. Lasted less than 27 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
We were able to backfeed, get things back up. We had about 300 customers that were out, a total of about 3 hours, while we replaced this switch gear. It was out of warranty, obviously, but it wasn't an old piece of equipment. No idea what caused it. We're still tearing into that. And I had two vehicles that had bad catalytic converters. Got those replaced. So, anything else? You got any questions for now?
Questions, Sean? Thank you, Sean. I got to go back to Tom.
I texted the mayor just a minute ago to see if I should bring it up this evening, especially with the time frame in which we're trying to move on this project. Tonight I'll be asking the council to approve us to reappropriate some of the money in our budget to purchase a training facility. We found out since we went to that facility back over in Ohio about a month and a half ago, they've went up $10,000 since. Kyle contacted them just the other day, asked him if they could lock us a price in for a period of time, and he said, when is your next meeting? We told him tonight. He locked it in till tomorrow, but with the price of steel and everything else in the world, there's no guarantee we're going to even stay at the same price after tomorrow. So I guess if I can talk to the council tonight and get them to approve us to purchase that training facility, would the Board of Works allow us to go ahead and place order of that tomorrow so that we can lock in the price Right now, we're at $106,800. I do have the money. I called Rosie and spoke with her. With the $90,000 that we saved from the mayor using the CARES Act for air packs, and what we had left over from purchasing air packs, we have enough money to make the purchase of $106,800 to get that training facility on order. We can put it temporarily at the museum. There are no, and Kyle will be speaking on this here in just a little bit. Captain Francis will be speaking on this in a little bit. We don't have to use catch basins or anything like that here for those. There's not even a requirement for a pad out front, but we would like to do that, and all it takes is a strip footer at each end. So it is a mobile facility. If we were to buy ground somewhere else, it can be unbolted and moved to a different location. I didn't know if that was something that we could get the Board of Works approval this evening, that the council approves that, if we can make that purchase or not. That's up to you.
Walt, you took the trip. Do you have comments or thoughts on the training facility itself?
The training facility's design and the purpose of it, I think it's a great opportunity. I'm just kind of digesting everything you just said because it was never part of our scope, but it still plugs in the puzzle that what needs to make happen. So I guess I'm not sure what you're asking.
I think he's basically asking that we do the approval for him to move forward pending council's financial approval.
And I do.
Okay. So I'll make that motion then, that we, pending council approval, that Tom and the fire department's able to move forward with the purchase of that training facility.
Second.
Motion and second. Further discussion? All those in favor should be the usual sign. It's unanimous. Okay. Thanks. Marcia?
Nothing.
Rosie?
Nothing.
I have lots of things, but I can wait. So, Walt?
Nothing.
Nicole?
Nothing.
Anything from the audience? No press here. We'll call the meeting adjourned. We're going to